The Iraqi army, Kurdish Peshmerga forces, Shia volunteer forces, and Sunni tribes have united in their fight against the Kfiri terrorists, and to a large extent, their efforts are paying off, especially for Izzati Kurds, who are now freed from the siege on Mount Sinjar. With regional implications of a spillover effect destabilizing countries, the fight has gone into high gear. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss ISIL, the questionable U.S.-led coalition, and the enduring regional involvement of external players.
Iraq's Kurdish Peshmerga forces have begun a major offensive to retake Mount Sinjar area in the northwestern Nineveh province from the ISIL. They've managed to break the weeks-long siege of the area where thousands of Izzati Kurds have been trapped. Kurdish forces have also retaken the strategic town of Zumar and several villages, as well as the Tel Afar mountain since the operation began on Wednesday. These are the latest gains in the ongoing battle against the ISIL, which launched its insurgency in Iraq in June. Iraqi army, backed by Peshmerga troops and volunteer forces, have already liberated a number of areas, including key regions such as the strategic oil city of Baiji. The ISIL is also facing defeats in neighboring Syria, where government forces are conducting a major operation to liberate the northern province of Aleppo. Troops have advanced on the key Handarat area, pushing further to a hill overlooking a key militant supply line from Turkey. The gains by the Iraqi and Syrian governments come as the so-called US-led coalition continues airstrikes against the terrorists. The U.S.-led military campaign has been wildly criticized since it has launched in September because it failed to halt ISIL advances. This comes as the notorious group has already killed a huge number of people in its attacks in parts of Iraq and Syria over the past months. In one of their latest atrocities, Takfiri terrorists executed 150 women in Anbar province because they refused to marry ISIL members. Reports say in Britain, girls as young as 14 are being offered cash to become brides for ISIL militants after being groomed online by the extremists. It could happen in a period of time much shorter than estimated by Western military officials.
Let's now introduce our guest for this edition of the debate. We're joined by Dr. Kevin Barrett, who is a political commentator, and he is joining us live from Madison. And we're also joined by Mr. Osman Bakash, who is joining us live from Beirut, and he is a member of the Hizb ut-Tahrir party. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us here on Press TV's The Debate. If I may, I'd like to start with you, Mr. Bakash, and ask you, with the recent significant gains that we're seeing in both Syria and Iraq by both countries' respective forces against terrorists there, where does that leave ISIL and its long-term outlook?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is a different context between Syria and Iraq. The introduction mentioned advances by the Syrian regime forces in Halab, but it failed to mention the recent setback suffered by the Syrian regime forces in Idlib, where they have lost major strategic camp in Wadi al-Dayf and Hamidiyah. So basically, what we are seeing in Syria, the situation is somewhat fluid, whereby you have some gains here and losses there. And to some extent, this is also what's happening in Iraq. Now, yes, this recent battle in Sinjar is a setback for ISIL, but it's not the end of the war. And this is stated by the American general, who said that the war against ISIL will last for years. And this is what was also stated by Obama. So aside from setback here and there, advances, the situation mostly remains fluid. And it seems that it's set to stay for the next whatever coming years.
Okay, Dr. Barrett, I'm glad our guest there in Beirut mentioned the U.S. general statement, because I want to put that to you then. Indeed, a U.S. general has said that it would take up to 3 years at the very least for Iraqi forces to be ready to be able to fight ISIL on their own. Now, I'm just wondering, why do you think that has been said? Because these Iraqi forces have been making gains against ISIL even during this period.
Well, of course, the American warmongers, it's not that they expect the war against ISIL to take 3 years or more. That's what they hope. They want to be in the Middle East forever, and they need an excuse. And that's exactly what ISIL is. That's why they created ISIL. Recently, one of our most militant generals, General Jerry Boykin, who is famous for having boasted to a Muslim that my God is bigger than your God. I mean, this guy is a complete fanatical crusader. He recently went on television on David Horowitz's neocon Zionist television program and said, thank God for ISIL. He thanked God, or his God, whoever that may be, for ISIL providing an excuse for the Zionists and imperialists to keep ravaging and destroying the Middle East for the indefinite future. That's the whole purpose of ISIL. What we're seeing here is a long-term counterinsurgency effort against the Islamic awakening. It's been designed by people like Bernard Lewis, the chief advisor to MI6 on Islamic affairs. They saw the Islamic awakening coming, an attempt to free the Islamic world from imperialism and Zionism. And in order to fight back, they did what counterinsurgency people have learned to do, which is to try to win the hearts and minds of their people and of the other side by demonizing the opposition. America lost in Vietnam because the Vietnamese people didn't want them there, and the American people didn't want to continue the war because the Americans looked bad. So what they're doing now is they're trying to make Muslims look bad. So they're creating groups like ISIL, which was created when Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was turned into a CIA asset or mind control slave or whatever he was during the 5 or more years he was being held in Camp Baqa in Iraq by the Americans. They turned him into a Charlie Manson, a serial killer, cult leader, Jim Jones, Charles Manson kind of figure who could be used to demonize Islam in the eyes of the world. And that's what ISIL is. In order to keep it going, of course, they put out propaganda on the social media to try to convince gullible Muslims, uneducated Muslims, young, naive Muslims, to join this Takfiri group of maniacs to make Islam look bad and to alienate not only the Western people, but also the people of the Middle East. And of course, they've done a pretty good job of that. And one of the reasons that ISIL is losing on the battlefield is that the people of the Middle East are aware of what's going on. And they realize that this group is not an Islamic liberation group. It's the exact opposite. It's an infiltrated counterinsurgency group created by the American Empire and the Zionists who currently run the empire to try to destroy the Islamic awakening.
And Mr. Rakash, I saw you shaking your head there in agreement in parts of what Dr. Brett was saying. I wanted to get your feeling about how people in the Middle East feel, because Dr. Brett there spoke about how people in the Middle East feel about these Takfiris, because you're in Lebanon, and certainly Lebanon has felt the effects of this sort of terrorism, especially from the spillover in places like Arsal, etc.
Well, yes, indeed. Dr. Kevin did catch the essence of the crux of the issue, of the ongoing issue. And for that, we need to link it within the context of the so-called Arab Spring, which for the first time, going back to December 2010, when it started in Tunisia. This Arab Spring, for the first time, it presents a true historic opportunity for the Muslim nation to break loose and to overcome the colonial shackles imposed by the Western order, whether the European early on or American. So this chain of events started in Tunisia, spread to Libya, Egypt, Syria, Yemen, and so on. Indeed, this is a historical moment we are living, and indeed this explains the Western determination not to allow the Muslim to regain their freedom, independence, and to resume the Islamic way of life. And so this is the crux of the issue. We Muslims here, we aspire to live according to Islam. Islam is our way of life. By creating this Frankenstein, this monster, indeed, the aim is to defame Islam, to have a smearing campaign aimed at, on the one hand, justifying the Western intervention, and on the other hand, to painting the Islamic State as in an ugly black frame, even to Muslims. So this is the crux of the issue indeed. It's a struggle for independence from the Western colonial order. On the one hand, most people don't agree with the tactics used by ISIL, but at the same time, people here in Syria, in the Levant, in Egypt and elsewhere, look what happened in Egypt. Supposedly, the American, they claim they endorse democracy. Democracy brought Muslim Brotherhood, and yet the military junta is back in power. So the crux of the issue that the Muslim nation is determined to overcome this colonial imposed order. Let's not forget, and this was a statement by George Bush. George Bush himself admitted that the American governments have supported dictatorship in the Middle East for the past 60 years. And this is a story. Look, even now in the past two months in Syria, there have been 3,000 aerial attack, including 1,300 barrel bombs, 1,300 within 2 months. So, and yet Mr. Obama doesn't see this. Mr. Obama doesn't see this, doesn't see all the destruction and the killing unleashed by the Assad forces. To that he is blind. So